So this week, the hymn that, or the, well, it's a hymn. They made it actually into hymn. But the line from Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And the song is similar to that. It just keeps repeating, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, rejoice. Yeah, so it's this whole thing. And it really gets you pumped up. You're like, by the end, you're all like, ah, you know, dancing and waving and stuff. But I was thinking, so back in the spring in April, we were asked by, in the bishops, when we were at the bishops' convocation, we were asked to draw the symbols of how we recognize our faith. And I am not an artist. I would love to be, but I'm not an artist. So this challenge at first, of course I had to have a table, and I'm like, okay, this is the table for non-artists, because there was those artists that are like, oh, we've totally got this, and they're happy, and they're sitting, and they're doing their drawing, and I'm like, I am not an artist. I need a table full of not other artists. I found my people. It was so great. But as I was reflecting on that question that was proposed by Jay Bowen, who is a Native American artist, he came up to me. He's like, What speaks to you? What speaks about your faith? And I was thinking, and as I thought, I started drawing this picture. If you can see, it has a cross in the center, but then it's a cedar tree with the sunset, the soil, the sky. And to me, that represented my faith. The faith of a cedar, because cedars are known for their roots, for just how their lifespan. I see them as being steadfast, of a unity. When you walk into a cedar grove and you see the old growth, that who knows how old they or how long they've been there. But their bases are probably about the same size as our communion altar, if you really walked into an old grove of cedars. And they have a whole lifespan that you can see. And as I was thinking about the sermon today and about cedar trees, I also see Fir Conway as a cedar grove. Because we have those that have passed on their faith, that are now the nursery trees, that have their history, their stories continue to give us strength in hard times, help develop the younger people's faith. And we're all at different stages in our growth. We're all in different seasons. And we also have, like the cedar, we have the predators, the invasive species that want to destroy our roots, that want to divide us, that want to bring in struggle in the midst of our formation. Because all different parts play a piece of the growth of us and of our faith. Which segues nicely into Paul's conclusion in this fourth chapter of the letter to the Philippians, where it's this gentle exhortation and this encouragement that run side by side. Because throughout the letter, he's been talking about his friendship with them and encouraging them in their faith and in their growing that they're experiencing. And we get a glimpse of the divisions that are trying to occur. And he's coming around them and exhorting them to hold on to one another, find that unity, to forgive, to be of the same mind. And he's nourishing, giving them the nourishment they need, all in kind of that frame of faith, hope, and joy. The faith that we have, the love that we have, the hope that we have in Christ, and that joy that we get to experience because we have Christ in our life. And when we focus on that letter And on those verses that we read today, it's good to remember what Paul is saying. He says it not only once, but he says it twice, because it is so important of a message for us to hold on to. The rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And for me, it's kind of this chapter and this entire letter kind of gives us a glimpse of the source of our joy, of Paul's joy, which is his relationship in God, with God, from his conversion on the road to Emmaus to the struggles that he faced becoming a part of this mission of the good news of the gospel that is Christ. Because if you understand Paul, he was a persecutor of the church. He persecuted Christians that were following Christ. And to have this whole conversion moment of this time that he realized what he was doing and God called him to serve the Christians, to start establishing the church in different towns. And then this friendship that he developed with the church in Philippi. And all this comes to this conclusion of this letter, this time that he is, everything he just wants to express is being able to be expressed in the conclusion. And because of that relationship that he has, that he is encouraging them to find their roots and dig into that, the truths that they know, that they can live through the persecutions that they will live through and continue to come upon, and the persecutions that they face. Because Paul is saying, in my own persecutions, as I'm sitting in this prison cell writing to you, as I face these things, I still have joy. And I have joy because I know Christ is with me. I have joy in that peace because I know these things are true. That relationship that I have with God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Christ the Son, all this makes it possible. This is where my hope comes from. This is where my faith comes from, and the love that I have for you comes from, is because of this relationship. So he's encouraging them. And for us, I think it's also an encouragement for us to hold strong when we feel persecution, when we feel struggles that everything is going sideways. When that anxiety that is produced in this world, from this world, tries to overtake us, we have the ability to step back and to humbly draw on the nourishment that is in our relationship with Christ. And we also are able to be that light for those that are struggling. Not only us that we call Lutherans, not only for us Lutherans, but this hope and this nourishment is for all of creation. For all who profess God the Father in whatever way that looks like for them. And it's not only something that I say, but it's what the ELCA says. And I'd be happy to show you the documents at some point, whenever. But that idea that we're all beloved children, we're all siblings of Christ. And that helps us to be an encouragement not only to us, but to others who are facing the persecution and the predators of this world, who are trying to destroy their way of life, their communities, their relationships. And we can be a part of that strength, a part of that community that supports and loves and encourages. And for us, our challenge lies in our sustainability of our relationships, not letting divisions occur, but to build and nourish one another in our roots of unity, of community, and of steadfastness, like the cedar. We can draw from that and have, hopefully, have encouragement and the strength to continue on. And the idea, as we wrap up, is that we listen with humility and with love, that we rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen.